Join me in chapter 13 of the book of Matthew. We'll begin reading to you and for you, verse 24. We are continuing in the section of parables. A subheading you may have in your Bible is the parable of the weeds. For some it may be tares. The older language is tares. Verse 24, hear the inerrant, infallible truths of our holy God. He put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed seeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore again, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. He put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. The Church of Jesus Christ, it is and we are known as the body of Christ. We are also known as the bride of Christ. And one day the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, will come and take up his church, and there will be a great wedding and a feast in heaven. I hope you, like me, like John or the book of Revelation, is praying for that day to come even today. But until that day comes, the church, we, can be described in different ways as well. We can refer to the church, capital C, as the visible church. We can also refer to the church, capital C, as the invisible church. Also, we, the church, can be described as a victorious church. And fourthly, we can be described as the militant church. All of these terms, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, visible church, invisible church, victorious church, militant church, they all fit. But here we need to understand exactly these latter terms as Jesus is giving them to us in his parable today. First of all, the victorious church. It is that group of people elect of God, and their names are written securely, firmly, and forever in the Lamb's Book of Life. They could be here among us today. And they are also those who have passed from this life into the next. Hence the word victorious church. Their security, their future, their victory is secure. The militant church. That group of people who are a part of the church here on earth as it stands today. It's called the militant church, that military term, because it continues to wage war against Satan and his minions. However, in this aspect of the church, the militant church, there could be believers and non-believers. The visible church. The visible church, as you and I see it here on earth today, it's the same as the militant church. This church is what you see around us as it meets on whatever occasion and whenever it meets. These people who are a part of the church as you see it, and they can be believers and non-believers gathering in the same place. The visible church. The invisible church. You probably know by now which one this is. The invisible church is the same as the victorious church. The elect of God, who are the people of God, called by Him, and are redeemed. Their names are written in the Lamb Book of Life. Their future is secure. They are partly here on earth, but they are also including those that have already passed on. The invisible church is only visible to God. The victorious church is only visible to God. The visible church, what we see. The militant church is what we see. This is what Jesus is teaching in this parable. The kingdom of heaven and the church, which is consisted within the kingdom of heaven, these are a part of the visible militant church as it continues to exist here on earth. And please notice, Jesus refers to this group of people as wheat and weeds. Or as I said in some of the older texts, tares. Both existing together in one place. The visible church made up at this time of wheat and weeds. Now, depending on which statistician you go to and which way or how you might ask the question, what percentage of which is what? Well, go find which statistician you like. It could be as much as 60% of the churches that meets on Sunday are non-believers. But in some more conservative rural areas such as ours, I'm sure, I pray, that number is much, much less. But please know, every Sunday, Wednesday nights, committee meetings, Sunday school, wheat and tares, wheat and weeds meet in what we refer to as the visible church here on earth. But something happened to bring this about. Look with me at the end of verse 24. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, the enemy came and sowed seeds among the wheat and went away. And so when the plants came up and bore again, then the weeds also appeared. Why would a non-believer meet with believers in a church? Well, one is ignorance. But two, as the parable is given here, a planting of Satan. The seeds of disbelief growing in the church. The enemy has come along with a good seed of wheat. A bad seed has been sown. And Jesus refers to this present nature as the kingdom of heaven. Now, I must say to you that when I read this term, the kingdom of heaven, at this point in time is both the wheat and the tares, I find that somewhat alarming. But within God's work, the kingdom of heaven as it exists now is made up of both the good seed and the bad seed of Satan. They exist together. As a parable gives us, the servants are shocked. They are shocked that this gentleman has sown bad seed, or that there are bad seed coming up within his fields, and they ask, can we go and tear it away? He says no. But before we get to that tearing away, we must see the message that's for us here in this church. First, the state of the church. We must consciously be aware that at any given point in time within the body of Christ, within the church, let me rephrase that, within the visible church, there exists the non-believers as well as the believers. But that I first see as a good thing. If it is a gospel preaching church. Because at least they're hearing the gospel. And we would pray that the Holy Spirit would work in the lives of those who hear Jesus refers to as weeds. That they're just in the early germination phase and they will be converted. But I must also confess to you that this is a bad thing. Because the weeds in the church have become in some places the majority. And so the majority of the business of the church is not gospel oriented. It's more social oriented. And they feel very comfortable going to church in a social dynamic. There's no discipline within the church. Gospel is not preached. And so the weeds don't know they're weeds. But secondly, it begs the question, what do we do? What do we in the church do? Now that we have come to grips with and know that the weeds exist with the wheat, what are we to do? How do we protect our young ones from the influence of the weeds? How do we know the Sunday school teacher is one that is a wheat and not a weed? Well, we have policies and steps and acts in place to protect us from this, but I don't know. So should we run them all off? Stand at the door. You a weed or you a wheat? Well, you know what the answer is going to be. They're walking into a church. I'm a wheat. See, the servants asked the master this. Should we tear them away? Should we go into the field and tear those out? He says, no. No, because the wheat, in this tender form, they may be damaged as well. So leave them alone. The master is protecting his crop because he knows that at the end, the weeds will be taken care of. So you and I don't know exactly who the wheat and the tares are here this morning. And so we preach to everybody. We teach everybody. And we preach that gospel as clearly, as fervently as we can. And we depend upon the Holy Spirit to do His work. Because as Jesus told Peter in Matthew 16, that He will build His church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It is Jesus Christ's job to build the church, not mine. Mine is to preach the gospel. Yours is to be a witness to the gospel. And it is Jesus Christ who through the Spirit will work in the hearts of the people. And it is our Lord who will build and protect the church. So just as we spoke here about the issues facing us now, we don't panic, we don't cave in, but we must be diligent and we must be fervent in our teaching and in our expectations of the gospel message. I've mentioned to you this before, the session does not tell me what to preach, but they can tell me what not to. The session protects this pulpit, but it's not this piece of furniture they're protecting. It's you. And so every man that comes into this pulpit, even one of the elders, if David Sides says, I want to preach, well, David Sides has had access to this pulpit how many times? But he cannot until first accepted by the session and said yes. Why? He may have changed his views. He may have wandered off somewhere. He's been on medication lately. I know my brother well, though. But please hear the message. The session is protecting you from whatever person who might step here with a message. Because that message has to be gospel-oriented, biblically-oriented. If it isn't, over time, we would begin to sway. So what will become of this issue of the wheat and the tares in the church? And where is our safety? And where is the safety of the church? Look with me at verse 30. The master says to his servants, let's both grow until the harvest, and at the harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Judgment Day will resolve all of this. Turn with me to Matthew 25, if you would, please. Judgment Day is going to be one of those days of great paradox. Horror, terror, joy, and thanksgiving. Matthew 25, verse 31, please. I think David actually preached from this text one time. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all His angels with Him, then He will sit in His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave Me food. I was thirsty and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed Me. I was naked and you clothed Me. I was sick and you visited Me. I was in prison and you came to Me." Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, My brothers, you did it to Me." But then there's verse 41. Then He will say to those on His left, "Depart from Me, you cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." The separating of the weeds and the wheat, the separating of the goats and the sheep, these are the responsibility of the angels of the Lord, not those who make up the visible church. And that day of separation will be that day of judgment. Back to Matthew 13, verse 37 and following, the latter half of 37. We hear similar language as He was spoken in chapter 25. Different illustration. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the son of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. The paradox. Truly a glorious day, but truly a tragic, horrible day. I'd like to draw your attention particularly to verse 38. Verse 38, "The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one." Now, we know the master, the sower, the owner of the field to be Jesus Christ. But notice who the seeds are this time in comparison to the parable of the sower, which was last week. Last week, in the parable of the sower, the weeds were the Word of God. And the sower cast out the seeds, being the Word of God. Here in this parable, the seeds are people. It's you and me. Also the sons of the evil one, the sons of the kingdom. So we are the ones being cast out by the Master into the field to bring forth the good crop that He has sown. We are the kingdom of heaven. We are the kingdom of God, or we are the kingdom of Satan. And we are the seeds being thrown out into the field, out into the world, to bring forth the church, to bring forth the body of Christ, being that growing up in the likeness of Christ. Where are you being sown? Where have you been thrown? Some of you may feel that way. But God has planted you there to be His kingdom in that place. You may be growing right beside a weed. And you may be the only Christ that person will ever see. And what will be the final outcome of the kingdom of heaven? We're given two more small parables, the mustard seed and the leaven. The mustard seed, being the smallest of small, will grow into the largest plant in the garden. Those of you who bake bread and understand the working of yeast, that leaven, when it's put into the bread, penetrates through the entire thing and infects every bit of it. That will be the kingdom of heaven one day. There will be no weeds and wheat in parallel. It will only be the glorious kingdom of heaven. That day of judgment will be the maturation of that leaven in the bread. That day of judgment will be that maturation of that mustard seed growing into the largest plant in the garden. So should we be afraid? Will our kingdom stand the persecutions of today? Will our kingdom, will the church stand a decision made by five people who wear black robes? No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. And that kingdom will shine glorious. One more passage. Please go with me to Revelation 22. I love the book of Revelation. Such imagery. I have such empathy and compassion for John when he saw this and bless his heart trying to put it into words so that a human could understand it. The Holy Spirit working through him and the visions Christ had given. But listen to this eternity. Listen to this kingdom. Listen to this heaven. Then the angel showed me, verse 1 of 22, then the angel showed me the river of water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the streets of the city. And on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were the healing of the nations. No longer there will be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true, and the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense, my reward with me, to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city of the gates. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral and the murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone, folks, I hate to stop in the middle of text, but please hear this warning. Please hear this warning. And it is speaking to the entire holy text, not just Revelation. I warn everyone who hears the word of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to them the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Wheat or weeds? Goats or lambs? Where do you stand? But the better question and more penetrating question, where will be your final home? In the parable of the weeds, it says on that final day that the weeds will be gathered up by a reaper, and it will not be a pleasant task. Those will be bound in bundles and burned. But those of the Holy One will be gathered up with a clarion call of the trumpet of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will break open that eastern sky, and He will call up His church, and we will forever be with Him in the sky, enjoying that great wedding feast. Where is that place for you? Let us pray. Father in heaven, it's been a pretty solemn morning here, rightfully so. But let our joyfulness abound in the work of the sower, the master who has cast good seed, who has identified the elect, anointed them. Their names are written in the book of life. And the great feast of which John writes about, that celestial city that we catch a glimpse of in John's writing, that will be our home. I, like John, pray, Lord Jesus, come today. Come even today. I pray for those, Father, who might have questions, not real sure where they might be. Let us not leave here with doubt or question in our mind. If you are one that has question or not sure, simply say, Lord, I don't know, but I do confess You as Lord. I do see You, accept You, and know that You are my Savior, and I will forever be Your servant. If those words come out of your mouth, then eternity is set for you, and you know where you will be: among the wheat, among the sheep, worshiping the Lamb for all eternity. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen.